I feel shame to be introduced such an introduction of Pastor Dr. Dora Nelson. By the way, it's my first time to be introduced such an introduction. But anyway, it is a great privilege to speak before this sanctified assembly and before this pulpit of views of a great pastor of this church, Dr. Downing. My wife and my family and I are very thankful for your prayers and helps of the books you have been sharing with us to our ministry. The church and the seminary the Lord entrusted to us to minister is of great blessing to us. The Lord has been good for the faithful years. God is overshadowing His marvelous grace and blessings for us. For the second church that I have, we have, because I am ministering about as the age of my eldest daughter, Roxanne, for 44 years. And the second word that we have is 25 years, and also 15 years of the Bible College. The Lord gave us faithful men and women. Our school brought also 22 graduates in the three-year course, graduate of pastoral theology, and just recently, last June, we have 4 who graduated in the bachelor's degree course. Praying that you'd be help to us in the furtherance of the teaching, instructing men toward the faithful word of our Lord. I thank Dr. Downing and Dr. Nelson for the books they have shared to us, they have authored, which the school is in use for the most of the enlightenment of the true and faithful word of God. Praying and hoping that this church will be of great help in prayers as well as sustenance of the need to further the ministry the Lord leads us and bless your church. Deep in our hearts, my wife and I is thanking you for everything you have shown and cared for us. Later, after our lunch, the Lord willing, we'll be sharing you some of the pictures of the word and hope you'll be blessed. The comfort and the grace of our Lord, our sovereign Savior, Jesus Christ, be glorified, and the glory be Him to His alone. Our message this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1-8. I am very fond reading the books Pastor Nelson wrote about the singing servant. And I always read sometimes the book of Isaiah, and which is the gospel in the Old Testament. And I have to read before you verse 1 to verse 8 as you follow with your eyes as I read these verses. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and its train filled the temple. Above it, it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he showed his face, or covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 is the Lord Yahweh Shebot. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him and cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Melech Shebot. Then flew one of these seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs with off the altar. And he said, It upon the mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. The title of my message is Fitness for Service. In the year that King Uzziah died, we have here a question, that why Isaiah start the book with King Uzziah's death. Uzziah had reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. During all that time, he was marvelous help till he was strong. We will find the background of the life, the blessings, how the Lord helped King Uzziah, and when he died. That's when also Prophet Isaiah began this chapter. But when he here, as we go back and we get the background of the study before we'll get the thought, why Isaiah take King Uzziah's life in this juncture? In 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, if you will get the background of the life of King Uzziah, verse 1 to 7, we read, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of the father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After the king slept with his fathers, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also were Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought Yahweh, Elohim made him to prosper. And he went forth and warned against the Philistines, and break down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, and against Arabians that dwelt in Gobaal and Mehunims. So we have the background here, the beginning of chapter 26, that he was blessed by God. And he might, as well as we know the background of his life, though he was reared in the tutorship of a good priest. And the Lord blessed him. Look, brethren, if you are reared in the right teaching of God's word, the Lord will bless us or bless you. So, but there was the danger of his life that he was not aware of. As we read in verse 16 again and verse 23. As we continue the life story of this king, that why the prophet Isaiah began to see the Lord in the death of this king, Hosea. In verse 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we continue, but when he was strong in his heart, notice, was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went after him, and with him 80 of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood or hindered Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn in incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand, and burned incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they cast him out from thence. Yes, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So, it is very interesting to note in chapter 6 of Isaiah, as we return to chapter 6, that the prophet Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord when the king Hosea died. at such a mournful time, in such distressing circumstances, the vision of the Triune Holy One came to Isaiah. What a change from the vision of a defeated leprous king to that of the throne of the exalted Eternal One. Our day of shame and sorrow may be the day of a new revelation of hope. Yes, many times the Lord chastises us, make us some troublous times in our life, sickness, and that's the way the Lord dealt with us many times, that He will show His grace of mercy. We see in this message a glorious vision of Isaiah. It should be a mournful time for them because their king died because of the chastisement of God that showed to them being a leprous king. But it was a glorious one. In Isaiah 6, verse 1, we see Isaiah said, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." He had seen the downfall of Hosea, but he saw also the glory of the unfailing God. The vision is the reality of that which was seen by the high priest in type when he passed through the veil into the holiest of all, the Lord enthroned and His glory filling the house. We see the landscape was there all the time with its riches and beauty. Although sometimes blessings comes in our life, but there's that veil of mist that must be rolled away to see more the high and lifted up God in our life. The pure in heart would should have to see God. We, like the prophet, must have this vision if he would become meet for the service of the Lord God. The book of Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, we see, where there is no vision, the people perish. Yes, God would have to remove that veil, that covering the glory of God in our life. For many times, we see those veil. We see those material things. Those, we say, good things. But we fail to see the beauty of God. And see, we need that vision. And the Hebrew word, that word vision is hazon. And we must need see Jesus, our Lord, who humbled Himself to death for us, high and lifted up, exalted and enthroned, and the glory of His person and word filling our life, satisfying the full every heavenly divine requirement. As we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9, as you will please go to that verse, I see Jesus. That is what Apostle Paul says right here in his book, in the book of Hebrews. He said, "I see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for this suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by grace of God, should test death for every saved person. Yes, as Apostle Paul, he have seen the Lord crucified for him, died, gave his life. Many times our life wouldn't see the suffering of Christ. Sometimes, many times, we are looking for that blessing that we are hoping for, but we fail many times to see the Lord's doing in our life. We should have this kind of vision, the glorious vision, that even in times of trial and deep need, as Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting down upon the throne, high and lifted up. And the second is a humbling confession. In verse 5, we see, then I said, I, woe is me, for I am undone. In the Hebrew word, the word undone means nidmiti. It means cut down or destroyed or brought to silence. Yes, if we only see Jesus working in our life, what He did in us, we are brought to silence. We are undone, brethren. As Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he says himself that he is a pitiful person. And he was undone. He is cut down. And he was kept to silence. And he said in continuance of the verse, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Very interesting that not only himself, but even the way his life is, he had that unclean lips. Notice Isaiah was a priest, a prophet. But he looks himself just like a Pharisee in the Sadducees. He has unclean lips. Imagine that he is there serving the Lord in the temple. But when he saw the Lord, he saw himself as nothing, and he has an unclean lips. The word unclean in the Hebrew means tameh. It means defiled, polluted. Many times we could not see how we talk. The way we express ourselves to others, most especially when we work with the unbelievers, we have a tame tongue, unclean, defiled lips. And we must have to be very careful, brethren, that we are being sanctified by the Lord God in this troubling earth. You see, a vision of the highness and holiness of God is a self-humbling sight. Meaning, we see ourselves having an unclean lips. Are but the weapons of an unclean heart. It was when Job also, the contemporary of Abraham, saw the Lord, that he abhorred or despised himself. As we read the book of Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. As Job said, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes saith thee. Means to say the eye of faith. And he continued in verse 6, wherefore I have whored, or I despise myself. You see, when Job see the Lord, he despised himself and repent in dust and ashes. It's so amazing, brethren, this great man of God, when this saw the Lord in their life, they saw themselves as nothing, sinful. And we see in these verses in the book of Isaiah, we first see the revelation, then the self-discovery and self-abhorrence, as well as self-abandonment. The vision of Bethlehem, Calvary, and Olivet first smites with conviction, then inspires with hope. Having seen the King, the Lord of hosts, he has seen his own need in the need of the people, for they also have unclean lips. There will be hope for the people when the servants of God have had a clear vision of God and their own condition in it. How we pray that we will be revived to this juncture of life, that we must have to see ourselves before God and pray, woe is me, for I am done. And the third part of the message is a great salvation. In verse 6, we see that as Isaiah experienced the beauty, the amazing, marvelous grace of God appears to him. And verse 6 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. The vision, the confession, then the live coal. So the seraphims fitly represents the person, work of the Holy Spirit in taking the things of the altar, which is the substitutionary work of Christ, and applying them in the troubled and unclean soul. The lips were touched with fire because the sin was purged, and then the second, the iniquity was taken away. This salvation is threefold, as we see. As we read verse 7, we read this verse in reverse. If you will find the message out here, as the verse said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So, we see the lips were touched with the fire because the sin was purged. First, there was the pardon. As we see the last part, thy sin has purged. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, it says right here that in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1, when he had by himself purged or covered or washed. So first of all, brethren, our sin must be purged, must be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be sure that we are the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, save us. Many times people said, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is that they do not know how they were saved. They just claim that they were saved. But here they have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. The one who died on the cross. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ must first wash the sin. In the book of John chapter 3, that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus, that he said to him, "You must born again." So, many times, people claim that they just born again. And yet, they do not know this verse very well as we go in theological and doctrinal emphasis on this verse in John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The word water, many times they interpret in their own interpretation, is water of baptism. That's why we see the infant baptism. And they do not know that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a doctor of the law, a master of the law. And he must know the Old Testament emphasis of the water. And I do believe the water there is not the literal water, but it is the water of purification, which in the Old Testament, that a heifer, a cow, red young cow, must be must die, take the blood, and mix with the water, and that is what the water of purification. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a master of the law. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a Pharisee that must know the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "You have been a master of the law. You do not know these things?" As you will go verse 9. And we read verse 9, Nicodemus must answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered in verse 10, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Nicodemus must know that water, it is the water, it is the blood. And I do believe that we must be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go back in the book of Isaiah, "Thy sin purge." He used the word "thy sin purge." It interpreted covered or washed. In the book of even Peter, and also in the book of Revelation, that we must be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the literal water. It's not the water of baptism. Okay? And the second one, as we see in the book of Isaiah, in verse 7, that is the word, "Thine iniquity is taken away." So we must be washed first. Then the purification, as I said, "thine iniquity is taken away." In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, we read, as Apostle Paul writing to young preacher named Titus, he said, "Who gave himself," the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us, "that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, brethren, it is God himself who makes us new, not us making our life new. This is the emphasis of the New Testament. This is the emphasis of our salvation, that God works all in our salvation. He purges us and purifies us. And the third, as Isaiah says here in verse 7, lo, this hath touched the lips. A live coal. We know what is a live coal. Okay, a fiery one. You cannot handle that or touch that. You will be burned if you will handle that. But here, the angel said to him, lo, this hath touched thy lips. The touch of the living coal was the sealing of the Holy Spirit. As we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, once again, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, after giving our life to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is that only time that the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our life. And in the fourth part of the message is the definite commission. The call of God was distinctly heard. I do believe that each individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ have been saved by grace. In verse 8 we read, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And he is talking to each one. Whom the Lord saved? Whom shall I send? It was not a voice commanding us to go, or for Isaiah to go, but a voice revealing to him, in a fashion, God's longing desire to declare his mind and will to the people through the willing servants. So, here, now quit the question. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? It is not the unbeliever. It is not that make-believe person. It must be the true, saved by the grace of our loving God. The man with the fire touched lips is now and must be ready to say, here am I, send me. He who has been cleansed and claimed by the altar fire yields himself at once unto God as an instrument of righteousness. Now that his uncleanness and unwillingness had been taken away, the Lord commands, go. In verse 9 to 11 we read, He said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Who will proclaim the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It must be us. And verse 11, this is now the thing. As how far or how long? Then Isaiah said, Lord, Lord Adonai, how long? And the Lord said, he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. We see cities are multiplying with people. They are not being banished. They are not being unpopulated. And we see everywhere now in this country, even in our country, people are multiplying, brethren. The cities are not being deducted with the population. Cities are multiplying with people. And you see, verse 11, we must have to see this vision. And we must answer this. God entrusted us the gospel. And we must have to do something about it. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Most gracious and loving God, who gave himself a ransom for our sins, you came to our life, converted us, Lord, and give us the message of your word. And I do pray, Lord, this morning, that thy people would see as Isaiah saw the Lord. Give them the eye of faith that cities are multiplying with people. And we must do something about it. I pray now, Father, may the message be a blessing to everyone. In this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.